You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Three and Out. That music ends so fast. Welcome to Three and Out with Jason and Kevin. I'm Jason. That's Kevin. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation, Cincinnati Bengals site, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. Kevin, this is episode 4. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. The city's currently coming after me. I built a fence without a permit, and they're real mad about it. Yeah. But other than that, it's been a good day.
I knew you were building a fence.
I thought about it. I just thought there's no way they're going to drive by and just like, no, I have a new fence. They knew almost instantly. It's crazy.
The permit guy is just, he lives across the street. Look at that guy building a fence with no permit. Oh, boy. Well, we got a few things to talk about. I'll kind of kick us off here. We talked about last week, the Bengals signed Orlando Brown Jr., which was huge. Huge addition. Huge style of contract with so much money up front, especially the $31 million signing bonus. Huge man, that's right. And immediately at, well, not immediately, I think maybe a day or two later, Jonah Williams, through his agent, has officially requested a trade.
Yes.
Which was surprising and not surprising. Surprising because it's not surprising. I don't know. I think anytime a player loses his position, and you know, there's going to be, as of right now, if he had not requested a trade, you pencil him in at starter at right tackle, but then you have Lael Collins, you know, when he's healthy, who's going to start there. And left tackle.
Even if Jonah does start, and I'm not against this, you got to do what you got to do. I love the Orlando Brown signing. We've kind of screwed Jonah. Playing a out of position on a contract year, like, I don't know, man. I get it. We did what we had to do. It's the business. Right. But, man, well, I get it. He wants a trade, and he should get a trade if we could manage it.
Left tackles make more money than right tackles do, and we've taken him out of left tackle, I think, after 57 starts. You know, he had a down year last year. He gave up 12 sacks, which I think is more than any other offensive tackle in the league. But he had a down year, and we basically said, you're now a right tackle, and after this year, you're probably gone. He's $12.5 million guaranteed of his contract. There's been speculation around the league. Well, not speculation. It's been reported that teams have inquired about Jonah Williams. So, Kevin, if you're the Bengals, what are you realistically expecting to get in a trade? And do you think they'll trade him at all?
I think they'll shop around. The Bengals have a bad history with players requesting trades and then just not caring. But it's new Bengals. We can't predict what they're going to do. I do think the old motto of we're not in the business of making teams better still applies. I think there's no way they trade Jonah for anything. I think a third, like a high third, might be their floor. Personally, I would consider a lot more offers. I would consider eating some of his contract for a higher pick. I would consider a lower pick if we don't have any intention of starting him. I'm not confident in Jonah starting at right tackle. Not that I don't think he's a bad O-lineman, but like he doesn't play right tackle. Like it could be bad. So I'd much rather pick up an additional pick, use it to move up a little bit if we have to, whatever we want to do, but try to get a right tackle in the draft.
Yeah. So if I'm realistically thinking what I could get for a Jonah Williams trade, I think that they won't settle for anything less than a day 2 pick. which would be a second or third round pick. I think it's insane to suggest that they could get a first round pick for him. That's not going to happen.
No.
It's doubtful they'll get a second round pick, maybe a third round pick. The only other thing I could see is a player for player trade that includes a conditional pick. So like the Bengals trade Jonah Williams to team X for player Y and a sixth round conditional pick. You know what I mean? I still don't really see that happening. Sure. I personally think he's on the roster week one. They're not going to cut him because they have to pay him anyway. So I think he's going to be on the roster. I could see him starting at right tackle. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. The draft is the draft can change anything. If the draft falls a certain way, a team could say, no, we need to go get Jonah. You know what I mean? So it's all going to be, it's all up in the air right now. And we're kind of in a dead period. So there's really nothing to do other than just make wild guesses of what the Bengals could get for Jonah Williams. So, like I said, I agree with you. I think a third round pick is probably what they're asking. If I had to guess, and we're not in that room, even though we should be in that room, I think. Right. Yep. Yeah. So,
100% we should. We have valuable input. I do not agree with you on the, I think he's on the team beginning of the, I think it's 50-50. I think that there is a very real reality in which they trade him away. I don't think they picked up a left tackle in free agency, move Jonah to right tackle without at least understanding. Now we got to get flexible. Now we got to be willing to like roll with this and see where it takes us. I do think that like they kind of rolled the dice on this one and they are going to be willing to like, to mix my metaphors, play the hand they're dealt. You know what I mean? Like I could see him being a Colt, a Jet. I could see him being on a different team at the start of this season.
Sure. I mean, I absolutely could see it. Like you said, they picked up a new left tackle, and we know for a fact they've already said that Orlando Brown Jr. is going to play left tackle. So now we have this weird scenario with Jonah Williams and Leo Collins. We don't know anything about Leo Collins's health right now. I haven't seen an update on that in a long time. So we don't really know what's going to happen with that. Jonah Williams is penciled in at starter. I think I saw you on Twitter last week talking with someone about, hey, what can you do with your left hand or your offhand? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do anything. I can't write my name. I can't throw a ball. I can barely scratch the back of my head with my left hand. If you cut off my left arm, my life changes. If I like in a scale of 1 to 10 at like a 3. And I know that that's really, really pushing. It's probably much, much higher than that, but everything I do with my right hand. Like, sure. Even where it's inconvenient, if I reach over this way, I'm still going to do that with my right hand.
Yeah.
You're seeing Scary Movie 2? Grab my strong hand. That's my that's my left hand. Yeah, that's my left hand. So, but yeah, I mean, that we don't even know if Jonah Williams would be good at right tackle.
No, and I don't think he would be. At least, look, he's a professional. If he decides to play, he's going to play his best. I've always said Jonah Williams gets more hate than he deserves. He is a completely functional and nothing more. Left tackle, and maybe he will be that version of a right tackle as well. I don't think we see that week one. I don't think we see it until halfway through the season, maybe, once he gets enough reps, once he gets enough practice, once he gets enough like actual field time, then maybe he becomes a at least good enough right tackle. But then Collins is probably most likely going to be coming back at that point as well. It just feels... it feels like there's no good answer here. And that's why shopping him out and trying to get a pick seems like the best option to me. But even that's scary, right? You never know how the draft's going to fall. Sure. And I don't want to start the plan would not be to grab a third round pick and use that to draft our right tackle. The plan would be something more like, well, now we're trying to grab a right tackle in the first or second round, and we're going to use that additional third round pick to grab the tight end that we passed over in the second round or whatever. But that's scary. I don't like it. I don't like having to go into the draft with a need, and it kind of feels like no matter what, we're going to at right tackle.
Right. Oh, I totally agree. So kind of moving on, do you have really anything else to say about there's really not a lot to say. He requested a trade. Hopefully the Bengals pull the trigger. They might. Hopefully they do. We'll see.
No, not about Jonah Williams, about the O-line in general. I know we all love Volson. We do need to look at guard free agents. He is the weak link on this team.
Oh, I'll be the
bad
I mean,
guy. I'll be the bad guy and say it.
For sure, especially considering that he was a rookie last year. If you have Orlando Brown Jr., Volson, Ted Karras, who Cincy hat right here, and then Alex Kappa, and then Jonah Williams or Lael Collins, or let's say a rookie, a first-round rookie, immediately the weak link is left guard, for sure.
Sure.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to look to replace that position. I do get the sense that because they went out and spent so much money at left tackle, and this was kind of a out of the blue thing, because I was expecting Jonah to start at left tackle this whole season.
Did you see Pollock? It was an out of the blue thing for him too.
They brought
it to him, and a day later he had a new left tackle. Like,
what, really? I do think that because of that signing, I get the sense that they're done messing around with the offensive line. They're going to do what they have to do.
I think you're right, but man, you could get a competitive guard.
Oh no, no,
a few million dollars.
Right,
you don't have to get a world beater. Like, you could do it. You could. It's an easy upgrade to make. I think you're right. I don't think they're going to do it, but it's frustrating because they should.
I'm not saying that they're not messing around as in they're not going to change it. I mean, they're not messing around as in they're not taking any chances with subpar.
Oh, you're going the other
way. They're going all out. That's what I meant by not messing around. Yeah, we're not screwing around anymore. We're going to have a top 10, the top five offensive line, no more
excuses. So you think a guard and free agency is on the table?
I absolutely could. And I think that, like, even just like a Quentin Spain kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go out and get a world beater, but a guy that's serviceable.
Yeah.
And then obviously you keep Volson. He's on a rookie contract. And if Volson beats that guy out and he improves, then perfect.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
It takes a year or two jump. Yeah.
And maybe that's what they did re-sign Max Sharping, and maybe that's what they do with Cody Ford. Cody Ford's more of, I know he played some tackle, but Cody Ford played guard more. I think he's more of a guard. Not saying that's their answer, but
I really hope not. I am not. I didn't know much about him a week ago. Cody Ford, if he starts at any position, we're in trouble.
Okay. Well, kind of moving on to the next point. You do this one because you called it in the last episode.
We got a new safety. We got a whole new safety duo in the back. We've gotten more athletic. We've gotten faster. I think it's a downgrade from an experience side of things.
Yeah.
It might be a downgrade from a talent side of things. But both players are free safeties. Both players can play strong safety. It's going to open up Lou Anarumo's book even more. I think because of that, it could at least hopefully be a wash. What do you think? Do you trust Lou Anarumo to get the most out of these people when it ends up being a better safety room? Or do you think they're probably going to take a step back?
So I absolutely do trust Lou Anarumo. I think that where they're going to lose a step is they're going to lose the step with experience, because when it comes to playing free safety, Dax Hill is basically a rookie. Nick Scott doesn't have the experience Von Bell does, at least in this in our system. And I have a feeling that Lou Anarumo's system is a little bit more complicated than a lot.
In any system. I think last year was pretty much the only time he was the second starting safety.
Right.
Before that, he was the third.
But so you have the lack of experience. I think it's going to hurt. I don't know about talent. I do think that where you upgraded athleticism. Dax Hill's an incredible athlete. Nick Scott's an incredible athlete. So I think that Nick Scott is a better athlete than Von Bell. I could see a scenario where it's a step back in the beginning of the season, and then maybe by the middle to the end of the season, they start to kind of come into their own, you know what I mean? Where Nick Scott's doing really well and Dax Hill's doing well too. But I don't think it's fair to say that the combination of Dax Hill and Nick Scott is going to be as good as Jesse Bates and Von Bell, maybe even for the entire season. You know what I mean? And this is a 3-year deal for Nick Scott. This is Dax Hill's, you know, they could have potentially, if they pick up the 5th year option, they'd have another 4 years, including this one. So you have at least 3 years of these two together. I could see a downgrade at that position group for the entire year.
I think it's going to be a downgrade forever.
Well,
it just is. Our safety group was dynamite. They were yeah. so good. I think that the combined athleticism of the two and Lou Anarumo's schemes is going to cover up a lot of that. I don't expect it to be a, I don't expect it to be a weakness of ours. Let's put it that way. But I don't think safety is going to be a strength. Definitely not this year. Beyond that, we'll see how Dax Hill plays. Right. But that was kind of always in the cards. We were never going to go into this part of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, getting their contracts set up where we were going to not lose a step in one or two other departments. I think we're still going to have a completely functional safety room. I'm good with it. I think the Dick Scott signing was great. For the amount of money he costs, I think he's going to be great for the amount of money he costs.
I do agree with that. I do agree. I think that they got a more athletic, and probably more versatile strong safety who can play. You know, Von Bell's strength was not playing center field like Jesse Bates was.
No,
you know
what I mean? They played a lot of too high. Like, they played a lot of too high.
Right. And Nick Scott, I think, has the capability to do that more, you know. It's going to be a more versatile and more athletic safety group, but it's not going to be better necessarily. No. You know? So the real question is, I have a question for you then. Would you rather have seen them sign Von Bell for a 3-year for the contract that he signed here? Or are you happier with the possible downgrade with a 3-year and a cheaper contract for a more athletic, possibly more versatile Nick Scott?
I would probably like to bring Von Bell back. And that means losing Pratt. If that's the case, that's the case. I am much more confident in our upcoming linebacking group than I am in the backup safeties we got and the new safeties we signed. Again, this is all just personal preference, but I think basically starting two brand new people at safety, no communication, which is hugely important, that position is going to be rocky. To say the least. And I would have really preferred to grab Von Bell for another couple of years to ease that transition. But it is what it is. I'm glad to have Pratt back. I think our safety room is going to take a hit, but it's not going to be a nightmare.
Right.
It was always going to be this way, man. That's just it. Yeah. That's really the truth of it is you can get upset about it, but like we're moving on. It's offense first. We're shoring up the line. We're paying our star players. The defense was always going to take some hits.
You know, Bates and Bell reportedly kind of were leaders of the defense where they got people lined up or they, you know, if they called things out, they saw someone's gonna have to step up and do that this year. And whether that's Logan Wilson or Jermaine Pratt or one of the new safeties, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Scott had that role to a certain extent at LA.
Yeah.
I know he takes it over day one here.
Right.
But he is an option.
I do know that everything I've seen has said that he's an incredibly intelligent player, very smart player. So and a big time culture fit, which is important. It's very important. And then
did you see Gardner going off on Philly fans and stuff on Twitter talking about culture? Sauce Gardner? Chauncey Gardner.
No, I did not see that. Okay.
Yeah. Talk about dodging a bullet. I'm all about this culture. I'm all about this locker room. And I was like, get him. And then he gets re-signed by Philly, and he's like crapping all over his own fans. And I don't know.
No thanks. No thanks.
Don't need it. We don't need a second Eli Apple.
No. I want them to re-sign Eli Apple, but I just want one Apple. Just one Eli Apple is more than enough Eli Apples. So
Is a part of you excited for the day the day Eli Apple turns on us, because he's turned on every team he's ever been a part of. And like, I'm partly excited for the day, like Eli Apple signs somewhere else. And he's like, Cincinnati, and he starts just roasting us on Twitter. And I'll be like, it was always going to be our turn eventually.
Yeah, probably.
It's going to be our turn eventually.
Yeah. We'll join the long list of clubs that he's just crapped on. But I think I'd like him to have him back this year. I would like them to re-sign him, and he's their fourth corner, you know?
Sure.
There's not many guys that could sign at the price that he would probably require that could be better as a fourth corner, in my opinion, outside of a rookie. You know what I mean? So kind of switch it, still talking about free agency, but switching gears a little bit. They haven't done anything at tight end. There's really no tight ends on the roster. Devin Nasiasi is the only one that I can think of that has playing experience, and he's not the answer. Everyone knows that. And then Joe Mixon is still on the roster. I think everyone is expecting him to be a post June 1st cut, like a cap casualty. At this point,
I'm not. I think they're
keeping Mixon. Okay.
I don't like it, but I think they are.
Okay. Well, let's kind of do it in both ways. If they do, well, first of all, let's talk about tight end. First, we do want to say there was a lot of linking Foster Moreau to the Bengals, and he just released on Twitter that he, in a routine physical with the Saints, that he found that he has Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. So we absolutely wish Foster Moreau the best. He said he's going to step away from football. We absolutely wish him the best and good luck with everything that he does, and hopefully we'll see him back on the field.
Absolutely.
If they do decide they're going to keep Mixon and he's going to be the back, obviously the most important position right now to address in free agency is tight end, correct?
Yep. Come on down, Irv Smith.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So we'll do this just really quick. I'm just going to go over who is available here at tight end. Let's see. Edge defender. I'm getting there. Okay.
Excellent.
So, yes, I know. Excellent. All this dead air. Great. Dalton Schultz is still there. Sorry. It says Mike Gesicki's there, and he's not. So, we have. All right. Dalton Schultz is not still there. Sorry. Irv Smith, Mercedes Lewis, and that's about it. Those are really, because Foster Moreau's on the list and he's not going to sign him. So we have Mercedes Lewis and Irv Smith. So yeah, out of those two, I'm taking Irv Smith Jr. But either way, I think that it's clear that the Bengals are going to have to draft, no matter what they do in free agency, they're going to have to address that position in the draft early.
Not whatever they do. They have to.
We have
two tight ends added to this roster. By the time we are rapidly approaching a position where we double dip at tight end, as much as I love the Orlando Brown signing, the Bengals have dropped the ball on this tight end issue. We need a tight end. We need them now. They're going for like $3 million a year. I do not understand what is holding them up. Irv Smith, please come be a Bengal. Please come be a Bengal.
So there's that. I could also see the possibility of post-draft cuts or June 1st cuts where guys are cut, you know, cap casualties where the Bengals kind of scoop them up then. But I could see them double dipping in the draft. And then if they do decide that running back is a position where they're going to move on from Mixon, it's kind of gotten to the point at that position where there's really not much left as well. I mean,
Kareem Hunt. That's why I think he's going to be a Bengal.
Yeah.
No, so you have Hunt's like personality issues. They don't go that way.
So there's Jerick McKinnon, which I wouldn't mind that, you know. Let's see. That's about it. So, you know, everyone else is gone. I think that they were really hoping they'd be able to re-sign Samaje Perine, and it's unfortunate that didn't work out. But I'm starting to think that it's possible that Joe Mixon's the running back in week one. So if they do that, they're going to have to address both positions in the draft early. Luckily for them, it's a deep draft class for tight end, very deep for tight end. For running back, it is too. Yeah, there's some good running backs that I could see going in the third or fourth round. So, they haven't really done anything at that position. They've addressed safety. They've addressed left tackle, and that wasn't even anything I was expecting. So, and then the left tackle move inadvertently created a hole at right tackle. Now that Jonah Williams requested a trade. So if you're going to give them a letter grade for free agency right now, what is it?
C.
C? Okay.
It's I'm not going to be. They're passing. They're fine. They did not turn in half their project.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to see the second half of that project.
Yeah. This is not complete. You didn't do the backside of the paper, right? Yeah. Get into the backside.
Flip it over.
There's questions on the back. What are you doing? Yeah. I'm not gonna be as harsh. I'm gonna say B minus, because I like the Orlando Brown Jr. signing so much, and I like the Nick Scott signing so much. And then I think we're kind of overlooking Jermaine Pratt coming back. I think it's a big deal. I do. Jermaine Pratt keeping those linebackers together.
I am going the Goodberry method on this one. Joe Goodberry talks about that is not a that is you cannot celebrate that. Losing him would be a negative until you replaced him. Signing him does not make the Bengals better. It just makes them the same. We need to get better in free agency.
I get that. I get you. All right. Do you have anything else to talk about free agency?
No. No, I do not.
All right. So a word from our sponsor.
Eastgate Smiles Dental Care is a warm and welcoming environment where expertise and customer service come together. As a local business, they love helping their fellow Cincinnatians manage their oral health and achieve a perfect smile. They pair the latest technology with years of experience to give you a smile worth showing off. They are dedicated to quality and convenience and can even perform dental crown procedures the same day in most cases. You like your smile, but they are here to help you love it. They personalize your care and match your needs. Call them today at 513-528-1150 to learn what they can do for your pearly whites.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So we're going to kind of wrap things up with a little bit of a mock draft. So it's going to be fun. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. All right. So we're going to use PFF's mock draft simulator, picking for the Bengals. Obviously, we're going to do the first three rounds, and we're going to kind of do a different scenario every round. So, Kevin, what scenario do you want to run through on this first mock that we're going to do?
Let's say they grab Irv Smith, good enough tight end, Mixon still on the team, but replaceable with a June 1st cut. And I don't want to do trades and everything this first run through. So Jonah Williams is still in the mix at right tackle.
Okay, so here we go. A lot of quarterbacks.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. The quarterback market, it messed with us last time, but they're all going, like, we're picking like 22nd. It's great. Broderick Jones off the board. Deontay Banks off the board. There goes Bijan. We kind of knew that. There goes Smith. Dalton Kincaid, first tight end off the board. All right. Oh, here we go. All right. We got quite a few options here. All right. Michael Mayer is top of the list. We got DeJuan Jones, kind of a, I've seen him drafted by the, in a lot of mock drafts for the Bengals. Can you scroll up?
Yeah.
Never mind. We're good. Okay. I would say out of everybody here, for me, it is the Michael Mayer versus DeJuan Jones. What do you think? Do you see anybody else who would perk your interest?
Nope. I totally agree. It's one of those two guys. Now, you just said that Jonah Williams is still on the roster and it's looking like he's not going to be traded and they have Irv Smith. So to me, it says you have to draft Michael Mayer here.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I only half feel this way, but okay. Let's just talk it out real quick.
Sure.
DeJuan Jones or Darnell Wright, I think, is going to move up these boards. He's not here now, but I think he would be part of the conversation at this point. Does any part of you want to say, who cares about the money? Who cares about what's on the team? Let's seal up our right tackle now. Let's get our right tackle of the future, and let's have this O-line locked up for the next 4 years. Does that speak to you at all? Especially not, with the depth of tight end that we have coming up.
Right. No, not prison. Not with Irv with Irv Smith and Devin Yassiasi. No, I think it has to be Mayer. So
all right, let's see what happens. Let's go Mayer.
All right. So all Mayer. Right. All right.
Let's go Mayer.
So we got Mayer popular number 28. Pick. Yep.
People are gonna all love right. this. People love Mayer.
Oh yeah.
Maybe. Darnell Wright went at 30.
Yep. So just there's Darnell Washington off the board at 39.
Yep. Luke Musgrave is gone.
Yep. There's DeJuan Jones at 46.
DeJuan Jones at 46. Sam Laporta at 48.
That's a guy you like a lot, I know.
I love Sam Laporta. I'm getting on that Sam Laporta train, but he's moving up the boards. I wanted to grab him in the second, and it's just I don't know if it's going to be possible anymore.
Okay. So, you know, obviously quarterback's out, a wide receiver this early, I personally think is out. They do need depth at cornerback. So you have Garrett yep. Williams here. Any edge defender is always okay. You do have another tackle in Matthew Bergeron. Edge, safety, looks like here it's mostly you're going to be picking defense. So
yeah, Travarius Hodges, yep. I like him.
I do like him as well.
Zach Charbonnet at halfback.
Okay. There you go. Well, if Mixon's going to be if he's on the roster right now, but he could be a June 1st cut. I mean, drafting a running back here saves them probably after his contract, after they cut Mixon, probably saves them what? $9 million after yeah. So I wouldn't mind that pick. I'd say Charbonnet or a cornerback. Either Hodges Tomlinson or Garrett Williams.
I say Garrett Williams. I think okay. running back sounds more fun, but I think we're going to see some value in that later. This cornerback class is just full of freaks. Yep. And I think it's the safe choice. You know what I mean? We got to have our vegetables. We need them.
All right. There we go.
And Garrett Williams is the broccoli. Keeps you
He's
strong.
He's the broccoli. Okay. All right. So now we're looking for what? In the third round, we're looking for the meat to go with our potatoes.
That's there we go. I want something flash. There goes Zach Charbonnet. Hooker. I'd like something. I'd like to head back. Ideally, I want to head back to offense. I want to see what we have at running back. Maybe a developmental player. If the right guard falls, I wouldn't hate that. Let's see what we got. Right.
So,
all right, we've run through it. Oh,
Hodges Tomlinson's still there.
And that's, I can see it can go either way with these cornerbacks, man. Yep. Like, now it looks stupid that we grabbed a cornerback.
It does.
Because now, I absolutely think Travarius Hodges is a better option in the third round than Williams is in the second round. Yep. But let's keep going.
So we do have a couple running back options here. We have Dwayne McBride and Tank Bigsby. A guy I really like a lot. I don't think, right here, Tajay Spears.
Oh, Tajay Spears. We'd be reaching, but not by that much.
Yeah. No, I don't think he would be there in the fourth if we were to go past this. We're not. But, and there's another tight end, Luke. And you mentioned double-dipping a tight end, but Luke Schoonmaker.
That's another argument as to why I don't go Mayer in the first.
True.
Luke Schoonmaker looks good. I mean, he's not Mayer, but, like, he looks good. Grabbing him in the third could be a killer move, assuming, you know, we didn't grab a tight end in the first.
Right.
So
we went
Tank
tight
Bigsby
end.
And... as a running back, by the way, all-time running back name, right?
Tank Bigsby. Absolutely.
That kid was born as a running back. His parents had to figure it out.
When his parents named him Tank, they said, you're either going to be a running back or we're going to disown you, one of the two. Or you're going to have to change your name legally to something else. So
military. I mean, come on.
That's true. You could join the military. That's right.
General Tank Bigsby.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that when he graduates boot camp, they pin stripes on him right there. He's automatically a general.
Yeah.
So,
he gets his first three just for graduating. First three.
Exactly.
Stars.
Yep.
Okay. Let's get back to this.
So we went tight end and then cornerback. The other positions of need are probably running back and just depth, you know. Depth at tight end and depth on the offensive line, depth everywhere in general. The only ones I would say are kind of out are quarterback and wide receiver. But you know, edge, you can't have too many good pass rushers. So I don't know, what are we doing here?
I'm leaning Tank Bigsby. If we're replacing a running back, the Bengals tend to want to do it the year before, and they tend to want to do it high. While this is one less than Mixon. Mixon got drafted in the second, I believe. Based on the depth of this class, I still say this is a good pick and something the Bengals would consider in the third.
All right. Tank.
Oh, and that's it. Yeah, we're just doing three rounds.
Just doing three rounds.
I mentioned kind of just exploring the options, talking them through.
Okay.
And C+ so we ended up with Michael. I mean, it's a tight end in the first. You're never going to get an outstanding grade for that. But also, I don't understand PFF's grading.
I don't either. All right. So you want to do another one?
Yeah, let's do one more. Michael Mayer.
Okay. So that was,
I want to skip tight end. I want to not, if possible, let's see how it falls. Drop down where it says draft for needs. For the audio listeners, draft for needs is one of these sliding scale options. So you can kind of change what ends up happening. Yeah, I just don't think draft for needs is going to be as big a factor if we're being realistic in the first three rounds. So if we're just doing another three, let's just do that real quick. All right, let's see what it does.
So we said we're not going tight end in this one, right?
Let's see how it falls. I don't want to make that call, but I liked what I saw at tight end later.
Okay. All right. And let's say for this one, let's say they do trade Jonah and they trade Jonah before the draft. Right. Let's say they trade him for an extra. We're not going to be able to do it in this mock draft, but let's say they trade him for a player and a extra fourth third. Or something like that. Do what?
Yeah, let's just say a third, just an extra third.
Yeah.
Mid round third.
There's Michael Mayer right there.
Michael Mayer's already off the board anyways.
Yep. All right.
Elijah
Kincaid's
off the board.
Kincaid is there. If they are trading Jonah Williams, I say it's gotta be Jones. Oh, Anton Harrison's
he is
there. Now
not tested. Yes. DeJuan Jones has not really tested yet. And I like DeJuan Jones. I think at pure size, he is just a freak of a human being. That wingspan, that size, that strength. I think that will serve him very, very well. The track record of the Bengals drafting unathletic or linemen who didn't test is horrific.
Right.
And until I see any kind of numbers on Jones, I'm kind of gun shy on him.
Okay. So we're going to Anton Harrison here.
Yeah. Anton Harrison is also available for the audio listeners. We also have Dalton Kincaid, which is a very interesting choice. If we're looking, and I don't think Boyd is on the team after this year, man, you could have a lot of, I didn't want to go tight end, but if you're trying to replace Boyd, you could have a lot of fun with Dalton Kincaid on that team.
You absolutely
replace
could.
A great you slot with a great pass catching tight end. Ooh.
Yep.
But I want to be practical here. Anton Harrison is on the board. He is a great player. He's a left tackle, but he is a left tackle, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing between Anton Harrison and DeJuan Jones is DeJuan Jones played right tackle all throughout college. So it won't be a switch for him. If you're going to draft Anton Harrison right away and say, hey, you're going to play right tackle, can he do it? I will see. So that's the only thing. I do think Anton Harrison's better. He's usually not available at this point. So
Right.
So are we going Harrison here?
I want to go Harrison.
Okay. Harrison.
Let's solidify that O-line. The O-line, yep. Other than guard, which we've talked about, the O-line is now solid for years to come.
Dalton Kincaid to the Steelers. I don't know if you saw that, but that just happened there. So it's something that the Bengals are going to have to deal with. Darnell Washington, 39. Let's see here. Luke Musgrave at 45. Musgrave,
tight end, gone. Yep. Jahmyr Gibbs fell to 48.
Yeah.
Have you watched any Sam of Gibbs tape? He is fun. He's a running back for those listening.
All right. So in the second round, what we're looking at for audio listeners is, Tanner McKee is a quarterback. We're not going to deal with him. They have Edge and Felix and Udaike Uzoma, Garrett Williams again at cornerback, Andre Carter edge, Carl Brooks edge, Sidney Brown safety, and then Nick Herbig edge, Hodges Tomlinson, and then they have back to running back. They have Zach Charbonnet. So what are you thinking here?
I like Zach Charbonnet a lot. Once again, Williams is a safe core pick. It's a smart pick. I'm very much not against just doubling down on that and seeing what we get heading back to the offense in the third. Where are you at? I feel like it really is, to me at least, Garrett Williams or Charbonnet.
I think it's Garrett Williams because you have, I think in this one we said that, Mixon would be there, but there's no depth at corner. So I think it has to be corner, right?
So let's do it again. Garrett Williams. Twice in a row. I don't hate it.
No, me neither. Me neither. So is there Zach Charbonnet goes to the Chiefs at 63 here. I'm
surprised if they grabbed him. We'll see. Cody Mauch, 31. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. He's a guard. Yeah. I mean, he wants to play tackle, but he's a guard. But man's he fun. Have you seen him?
I have. Here, just to point out, for the second time in a row, Hendon Hooker went to the Packers in the third round.
Really?
So, yeah. All right. So in the third round,
poor Tanner McKee ranked 32 on the quarterback, and he's just always right there at the top.
Yep. So kind of the same thing that we're looking. We have Hodges Tomlinson still sitting here. Carl Brooks still sitting here. Dwayne McBride is here. Tank Bigsby here again. So we went cornerback. We went offensive tackle, cornerback. And then I feel like at this point, you kind of have to address running back again, right? Well, they didn't.
Shoemaker in the third.
Shoemaker's here. Yep, Shoemaker's here. I could see that working out for them.
If Mixon is on the team and we are still in the tight end situation, I think we'll sign a tight end, but we're in a bad tight end situation. I'm leaning Shoemaker. It's a bit of a reach, but I want a tight end. I want one of these tight ends.
I do agree with you. So let's do that here. Let's take Shoemaker. All right, so finishing this one up here. See if there's anything crazy that happens here before the end of the third round. There's Tanner McGree goes to the Commanders. All right. So grading our draft this time. Nope. Oh, look, we did. Well, kind of. B+. Yeah. The Anton Harrison's an A. Gary Williams, B-. And then Luke Shoemaker is a C+. All right. Do you want to do one more or do you want to call it quits for the night?
I want to call it quits, and next time I want to go to at least the fourth or the fifth round because I think these tight ends could get interesting, and I want to see what happens. Sure. We're running a bit long. Where do you, out of these two, which one are you picking?
Out of these two, if I got to choose?
Yeah.
Probably, oh boy.
The second for me, and it's not really that close.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with the second one just because the offensive line is no longer a question mark. We're set. You know what I mean? You have a first round offensive tackle next to alongside Orlando Brown.
A potential game changing starting corner.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I think Shoemaker is going to be a good tight end at the professional level. I really do. I mean, he's not Mayer. He's not flashy.
Right.
But he's very good.
And also keep in mind that we did say in this scenario that Jonah Williams was going to give us an extra third. So let's say somewhere in there we're going to have that extra third where maybe we could address running back or whatever else. So,
grabbing a running back in there and a tight end in the third in this class, that could be the move, man. A lot of people are jumping on these high-end running back and tight ends, and the more I think about it, I'm like, let's address the line in the first if we can. And let's let one of these like tight ends or running backs fall to us. They will be available. Like starting caliber tight end and running back will be available in the second, third.
Yep. I personally, I love Tajay Spears. I absolutely love him. I watched him just completely shred. And I know it's college. And I know it's the AAC, but I watched him completely dismantle UC's defense, and UC's defense was good. He's going to be a good pro, and everything that I'm, all the mocks I'm seeing, he's going in the fourth. If not, I don't think I've seen him in the fifth, but I haven't really seen him in the third very often. So I think that there's guys to be had for sure. So, you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Hopefully the next time you guys listen, we're going to have some kind of news on running backs, some kind of news on Jonah Williams, some kind of news on the tight end situation. Yep. I feel like this has been kind of a slow free agency, and that's across the board, but especially on the Bengals side. So hopefully we see some movement, but other than that, no, I got nothing for you, man.
All right. Well, for Kevin, I'm Jason again. This has been Three and Out with Jason and Kevin, brought to you by CincyJungle.com, a part of SB Nation, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. Give them a call. See what they can do for your pearly whites. Kevin, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Hooday.
Hooday.